From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made here in Rochester on Tuesday, November 15th. Governor Andrew Cuomo was in town, and he made some strong remarks about Uber and Lyft. Those are companies that provide a service known as ride-sharing. Uber and Lyft have been prohibited in most of New York State, and Governor Cuomo said the time has come to change that. And that day in Rochester, he said, quote, "We need the people of upstate to tell their representatives, don't come home until you've passed ride-sharing," end quote. Well, Uber saw this as an opening to reignite the momentum for ride-sharing in New York State. The company sent an email blast to its users and launched a social media campaign. Ride-sharing is effectively banned in a handful of American states and cities. Here in New York, there remains some opposition, at least in the taxicab industry, and some critics have said that Uber undermines workers. This hour, let's talk about it. Has the time come for ride-sharing companies like Uber? And Uber gets all the attention. I mean, and there's Lyft, and there probably will be more in the future, but we sort of use Uber as kind of a catch-all, but it's ride-sharing. My guests this hour include Matt Haig, who's a member of Rochester City Council. Matt, welcome.
Thanks for being here.
Franny Sobchak is a member of Workers United and the Rochester Taxi Drivers Association. Did I get that right, Franny?
Yes, okay. Thank you.
Great to see you back here.
Great being here.
And on the phone with us is John Tomasi. He's the president of Upstate Transportation Association. John, thank you as well. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Matt Haig, real briefly, side note, we all saw in the newspaper this morning, you are not running for re-election in a year, so you're a city councilman for one more year. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. You want to just tell us a little bit about that decision?
Yeah. I made the decision after, obviously, a lot of thought and consideration, and really boils down to my ability to serve my constituents, serve my full-time job. As many people don't know, but council members tend to also work a full-time job like many people in local government, and my family's needs. And in looking at how my job has changed over the last year or so at the U of R, as well as some health needs with my mom in Pennsylvania that are going to be exacerbated a little bit in the coming year, the one thing that could give on my calendar was not running again. And I think that's the only way that I could continue family obligations, work obligations, and constituent obligations.
Well, let me start with that. You travel a lot, both for family and for work obligations. Mm-hmm. And in traveling in other cities and states, do you use Uber?
I do.
You want to tell us more about why? I mean, you don't feel that that is... I guess what I want to ask is, do you feel that by using Uber, is that undermining taxes, undermining union workers, or how do you feel about it?
Well, I guess maybe I take a all-of-the-above approach when it comes to transportation. I'm a big supporter of public transportation, increased rail, buses, you know, that sort of thing. I use those modes of transportation when I travel at times. I use taxi cabs. I'll give you an example. I was just in Seattle 2 weeks ago and landed at the airport on a Friday morning. And what was most convenient after getting out of the terminal was, you know, Seattle taxi cabs. They were right there, clean, and looked to be efficient. And I got in and I got to where I needed to go quickly. At the same time, the next day I had a 4:15 a.m. flight out, or I'm sorry, a 6 a.m. flight out, and I needed to get to leave for the airport at 4:15. I used Uber because my experience with that has been exceptional. That when I say I need a reservation at 4:15 a.m., they're there sometime between 4:15 and 4:30, and you know, right on the dot at 4:16, they were pulling into the hotel to pick me up. So. To me, it's about choice. It's about efficiency. And I think Uber plays a role, Lyft, you know, whatever other ride sharing. I think they all play a role in a modern transportation system.
We had a conversation about ride sharing about 10 months ago, and Franny Sobchak was here. What I want to do is I want to listen to some of what Franny said at the time. And then read an email from a listener, and I'll let Franny tell us what she thinks is either evolving or changing or is not. So, first of all, this is what Franny had to say about the need for taxis to understand why Uber and Lyft have been successful and sort of adapt or die. This is what Franny said.
I think the industry here in the city and county and the area, I think they realize that they've got to step forward. They've got to get the apps. They've got to bring themselves up, and it's going to take time.
Raise the quality?
Unfortunately. Oh, definitely. Quality, you know, the service.
All right, so that was about 10 months ago. Here's an email from a listener named Eric this morning. He says, Evan, I can't listen live today, but I wanted to share my thoughts. After this conversation just about a year ago, the taxi representatives cried that Uber was unfair and they were trying to improve. But nothing has changed. Ultimately, I don't think it matters if it's a taxi or Uber or Lyft or something else. We just want reliable, convenient service. Give us an app to see where they are and then actually show up when we request a ride. I've picked friends up who have called me after waiting 2 hours for a cab that never came. I've heard the complaints about people sharing a taxi then getting charged double fare after the first drop-off. We're looking for consistency. If the taxi companies are unwilling to change, they deserve to be Rochester's next Kodak, not legislation that protects them from competition. That comes from Eric. So he's saying, Franny, he heard what you said on the show about a year ago, and he doesn't think things have changed, and unfortunately he thinks that the rise of Uber is sort of deserved in this. How do you respond to people like Eric?
First of all, I agree. Okay, competition. You know, it's competition. It's what we need. And every industry needs competition to make their industry better and safer. And, you know, we have nothing against the Uber drivers. What we are against the business model of Uber themselves, how they, with the workers, how they are with the workers. It's part-time work. So it's going to be no benefits, you know. What I'm concerned with is our drivers here, we don't want them to lose their full-time jobs. You know, and they know there. If Uber comes in, there's going to be a lot of competition, and they're going and the best are going to have to rise, and the ones that aren't serving the public and aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, they're gonna disappear.
How many jobs are we talking about locally?
I'm going to say approximately 300. Some of them hold license, to hold the license. Others themselves are part-time, so we're talking probably 250 to 270, that the majority of them are full-time, and they are supporting family members.
Okay, so before I turn to John Tomasi, mm-hmm. I think there's a number of prongs here, and I want to let listeners know, if you want to chime in here, if you've got questions or comments, your experiences with ride sharing, with taxis, what you'd like to see going forward, whatever side you're on, 844-295-TALK. It's toll free, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. Franny, I think what you are saying leads to two different points. One is, regardless of whether taxi and this industry updates or adapts or looks at Uber and Lyft and says, well, we can do that too, regardless of that, you're sort of raising the point that says, do workers need to be protected, and does whoever is driving, should there be some kind of worker protection? I think that is separate from the question of, has the industry responded in a way that says you are updating, you are adapting, you are making the change, you are understanding why Uber and Lyft have filled a need in the market? Do you think you have filled that need, or at least responded?
We have responded. We have not fulfilled it. We have responded. And that, like I said, there are taxi companies in this city that have apps. Uber and Lyft, they're an app. They're an app.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can develop an app. The city can develop an app that, in order for the drivers to drive, they have to be part of that app system. So we've got companies who have their own apps. It's the same process.
Are they as reliable? And you think essentially do they operate the same way Uber does? You use the app, they're reliable, they're there, it's simple.
Yes, yes.
Okay,
but I think what's even better are the companies that do use it. They're more in tune with the worker, with the driver, because they come from the old system, and their worker benefits and everything are a little bit better.
So you say some are doing that. Why not all? What are we waiting for?
It's a free market. You can't make people, businesses, do what they should do.
But they could die as a business if they don't.
It's competition.
Okay.
You know, but what we're saying is, and another thing on the other side, is when you got Uber or any rideshare company coming into a community, mm-hmm. we don't know who these people are. And what the TNC wants to do, what those rules and regulations want to do, they want to blanket the whole state.
But they're pretty much your neighbors, aren't they?
Not really. There's been in other cities, they come in, They come in like on a Friday night, Saturday night, they could be down on the East End. They come in, get off the thruway, come in, do up all the work, get on the thruway and take off.
But do you think the market has essentially voted with their wallet saying, we're fine with that. We want reliable service and so far we've gotten it?
I don't know.
Okay.
I really don't.
And before I'm going to ask John on the, sort of the work protections, but one more question for you, Franny. Mm-hmm. It does sound like you agree with this premise, which is if taxi cabs do not adapt and understand what has made Uber and Lyft successful, they deserve to die. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't say deserve.
Okay.
It's the competition, and there are people in the city, drivers, that realize it's coming.
Okay.
And technology is here. And like any other industry where, you know, that's it. I'm not going to say they deserve to pass on. I would never say that.
Oh, okay, no. I,
please, I'm a labor organizer.
No.
Okay.
No, but you know what? you know what, though? Yeah. I so much admire and respect about you is that you did not come in here and say that protect workers and there doesn't have to be any sort of evolution in the industry. You are at least agreeing there must be evolution in the industry.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm an old garment worker, so I know all about it.
John Tomasi has said in various interviews, the Upstate Transportation Association does not oppose Uber and Lyft, but you want sort of a level playing field, and this is where sort of the worker protections come in. John, tell me more about that.
Well, first let me tell you, our Upstate Transportation Association represents livery owners from Albany over to Buffalo, down to Binghamton, Ithaca. And and I refer to them, like Fran said, TNCs, Transportation Network Companies. There's probably a dozen out there that operate in multiple cities, and there's always people who have their own apps in local cities, but there's a lot more out there than Uber and Lyft that are out there. And any legislation that's proposed is for transportation network companies, not just Uber and Lyft. As taxi owners are, they're not opposing Uber coming in. I mean, you know, the whole idea of an app was a game changer. Honestly, yeah. And as Fran said, caught the taxi industry flat-footed, and it's changed. And they're scrambling to put their apps together and get with the market. And if Uber does come in and comes in under what we feel is a level playing field, then it's whoever's a better competitor is the one who will win. And like Fran, we hate to see anybody die out, but competition is competition. And the public, as Matt says, the public just wants rides when they want rides. And they want it dependable and convenient. And so if the taxi owners in Rochester can do it, then that's great. If Uber fills in because they can't, then that's how it ends to be. Our concerns tend to be more with ACE and public safety issues. A taxi cab. If you ever wanted to be a taxi cab driver in Rochester, you'd have to get a special license. You'd have to take and these are Rochester municipal ordinances. You'd have to take a two-hour taxi course. You'd have to go to the police. Would have to do a background investigation on you and call, and then let them know that, yeah, you're clear. And there's other requirements, but Uber and Lyft don't want to be bothered with any of this stuff because it's not in their model. So they oppose any type of fingerprinting or backgrounding check. They just don't want to do it because they just want to hire as many drivers as they can. They feel that will slow things down. In fact, they have actually left cities who, subsequent to Uber and Lyft coming in, have put ordinances requiring a fingerprint, and Uber and Lyft have just simply left Austin, Texas, 6 months after that. They said, we're not going to do it. We're just not going to do fingerprinting. And that's a real public safety issue. You mentioned, hey, it could be your neighbor, so what's that? Well, it could not be your neighbor. It could be anybody. Anybody could be an Uber driver. And there's no, I mean, we have ordinances in Rochester for a reason. And because you're, basically people are taking a taxi under the assumption that this whole operation been vetted by the city of Rochester.
But John,
that goes out the window.
But on the subject of sort of anybody could be an Uber driver.
Right.
Uber is now has sort of a multi-year history, and doesn't the market determine whether the concern you just posed is a valid enough one to not use a service? In other words, if there was a rash of incidents, it would absolutely impact business. And I think the market is telling you that for the most part, this system seems to work pretty well for them to accept it and use it, no?
Well, no, and here's what's happened. So in the cities that have decided to put in fingerprinting background check, it's subsequent to Uber and Lyft coming in, and it's because of issues that have been arose because of incidences that these cities responded by then saying, you know what, we need background fingerprinting checks because it just doesn't exist. I'll give an example. It was, I think, earlier this year there was a I'm not sure if it wasn't sexual harassment, it wasn't an attack, but by a driver, Uber driver, and it turns out this guy had a felony drug conviction. Now, had he been a taxi cab driver, he would not allowed to have been a taxi. An Uber driver, he was okay. So that's what's happening. Massachusetts just is putting through some legislation, creating a whole department within the state to monitor and deal with regulation of this industry. So it actually has been responding subsequent to it, to Uber being in there, concerns.
Let me just jump in, John, only because the sound quality on the phone's a little in and out, and so maybe producer Megan Matt can try to reestablish that connection. Okay. And I've got a bunch of phone calls to get to. I just want to let Matt Haig follow up in one sense here, because Matt is both a Rochester City Councilman, but also someone who has used Uber plenty on the road. So you hear John saying people are, should be sort of justifiably concerned about safety, that there's not fingerprinting and background checks, that that's not only not fair, but that's maybe a public safety issue. Well, you use Uber. Why has that not deterred you?
I guess maybe as a gut level is, in spite of background checks or fingerprinting or things, bad people can still, become bad a day after all of that happens, and it's not necessarily preventing somebody from doing something foolish or something stupid or something criminal just because they've had these checks, though it is a preventive. I don't necessarily object to, should Uber or Lyft or other ride shares come to upstate New York. I'm not necessarily against having them follow the regulations that we expect of cab drivers and cab companies. I think that does create a level playing field. Franny and I almost always agree on everything related to workers and workers' rights and promotion of people to have a living wage and a fair wage. My only concern with this is I sometimes think that the argument about Uber following some of the rules is really meant as a block, simply as a block to Uber and these types of ride-sharing companies.
But John and Franny are saying every time cities, municipalities want to put these rules in place, Uber and Lyft, they say, well, we're going to take our ball and go home. And so I'm curious to know if you support legislation on the state level. And we just heard, by the way, on Twitter from Senator Rich Funke. He says he wants to see this passed. We've heard from County Executive Cheryl Donolfo. She wants to see this passed. Do you want to see this passed without any sort of new requirements or at least requirements of parity? Or do you want to see it passed with some restrictions now?
I think it's important to pass with some restrictions because I do think then you create a level and an unlevel playing field between cabs and what they've been expected to do for many decades, and then a new thing. That is then government saying you have to do it this way if your car is yellow, and you have to do it this way if your car is black. I don't necessarily think that's smart. I think we have to look at how government is involved in this, and see if there are changes that could be made that would allow Uber and Lyft and other ride shares to come to the community while at the same time ensuring a minimal level of safety and assurances to the public.
And Matt, as someone who considers themselves a friend of labor, you do, right?
Absolutely.
Do you share the concern that this is going to lead to a lot more part-time drivers and a lot fewer full-time drivers, or do you think that is a natural evolution of where transportation has gone?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think some of it is, I will talk to the Uber drivers sometimes. I'll talk to cab drivers sometimes when I'm sitting in the back seat there. And I hear similar stories. Some people, this is their full-time job. They bought the new car to make a living. Some of these men and women have actually stop being cab drivers and move to Uber, and they're doing this full time. They're making more money. They tell me that their payments are easier, that they're less worried about carrying cash, and that the system is just more efficient for them as a driver. I also hear other people who are part-time cab drivers and part-time Uber drivers because they need to work for a year or two part-time to help a sick relative or a family member get through school, or maybe because they got laid off of a full-time job and this is something they can do for a while without a lot of hassle in terms of Uber, and that they can fill an income need for a period of time. So I think for right or wrong, we are moving into a different phase of economy, and a lot of that is a part-time economy. And this is an area that I think Franny and I would agree on. We as a society have got to figure out how to ensure a basic level of support for the increasing number of people who are piecing together multiple part-time jobs. I think Uber is just one example that there's many. I don't necessarily think, though, it's a reason not to have them in our community.
All right. I want to let our listeners know again who you're hearing from. That's Matt Haig, member of Rochester City Council and someone who has used ride-sharing services like Uber in other cities. Franny Sobchak's here, a member of Workers United and the Rochester Taxi Drivers Association. And on the line is the president of the Upstate Transportation Association. That's John Tomasi. I've got full phone lines, so let me go ahead and start working through your calls. And I'm going to start with a different Evan in Irondequoit. Go ahead, Evan.
Hi. My question is, listening to the Uber and the taxi cab drivers, would be, what's the checklist and why hasn't government made a move? Hearing that the taxi cab drivers have to pay in, but am I understanding correctly that possibly the insurances aren't the same, that Uber doesn't have to pay for a hack plate, that the Uber doesn't have to have regulations? Why is that? Why? You know, you mentioned Senator Funky, you mentioned that the person on council, Matt. Respectfully, sir, could you explain to me why there hasn't been more movement on Uber having regulations same similar to the taxi cab drivers to ensure? We had a school bus driver that just five kids were killed because he didn't have a background check. I don't understand that. Why isn't the playing field as equally for Uber and Lyft as it would be for a taxi cab driver?
Evan, thanks for the phone call. I'm going to let all of our guests respond to that. I will say as well, when you look at that school bus incident, when you look at individual incidents, because you can find them, of an Uber driver doing something wrong, you can find incidents of taxi drivers. I don't know offhand, and maybe Franny and John can weigh in on this, maybe Matt can, I don't know offhand if the evidence shows that Uber and Lyft drivers are more, for lack of a better term, dangerous. I don't know the answer to that. But Franny, I'm going to start with you because I think there's a lot to say on what this phone call just did. So go ahead.
In Rochester, in the city of Rochester and Monroe County, the Rochester Police Department know exactly who the drivers are. They've got all their information. They've got contact. You know, they meet with them once a year. You know, they do the inspections. So these drivers basically are known by the RPD, and the RPD can pull these guys anytime they want to. With drivers coming in from the outside, nobody knowing them or anything, nobody even knowing if they're even here. That's what's really scary, is we have a group of professional drivers who are vetted, who are known, and who can basically be pulled right off the streets by RPD whenever they basically deem necessary. You've got that security of knowing that those drivers are professionals.
All right, Matt Haig, he directed part of his question to you specifically on sort of insurance and costs for drivers and things like that. How would you respond to that?
Well, I mean, part of it is that this is a state issue, that this is not something that Rochester can declare that we'll have Uber. So part of this is state regulation that would allow that. I think what perhaps one of the things that could be done in state legislation is for a path for rideshares to be here in our communities, but for some level of local adaptation of state law, so that if our community feels that taxis and rideshares should be regulated in the same way, or that there should be a different way that we regulate taxis that is maybe less than what we do now or more than we do now, that state law should allow that level of local control. That's what I would advocate for. And that we should look at that. I mean, I think each community, whether that's Buffalo, whether that's Albany, whether that's Syracuse, are going to want to know what they need. But to your point, I guess I just haven't seen the broad-based compelling evidence that Uber drivers are a danger waiting to happen upon riders. I'll go back to where I started. What I hear most people complain about is the danger that they, as a resident, currently that they call a cab and they're standing on a street corner, and 45 minutes later the cab still is not there. That it's getting later at night, the cab still hasn't gotten there. They've left their car behind. They're trying to be responsible by not drinking and driving, or simply they need a ride home. And their safety is being, put on the line now because there isn't the reliable cab service that many other communities have and that many people feel Lyft provides in other cities.
Monique on Twitter says, I have never been in a cab and felt safe with the way the driver was operating the vehicle. So just the quality of driving, I'm sure Franny would push back a little bit on that. Is that too generalized there?
Yeah, that's too generalized. You know, in any industry, you're going to have the guys that try to get away with a little bit here and a little bit there.
I mean, I've been in Manhattan. Yeah. Feared for my life.
Yeah. Well, that's Manhattan.
That is Manhattan, yeah.
But there are, on the other hand, we've got good, reliable, responsible, professional drivers in the city.
Okay. And John Tomasi, go ahead.
So just on the insurance, Uber carries their own coverage, and so Uber's program is once you get in your vehicle and you're on your way to pick up a call, Uber's policy kicks in. When you drop off the call, then you're on your own, so your own personal insurance kicks in. Now, personal insurance excludes any livery operation, so I had this personal experience myself. I took Uber in Washington, D.C., and he dropped me off and said, are you coming back later on? I said, yeah, about 4 o'clock. Okay, well, here's my cell phone number. Just call me, and so I can come pick you up. Now, that's not how you work through Uber. So what I would be doing by calling him is getting a ride back to the hotel from him, but it would not be Uber, and therefore there would be no insurance coverage. Knowing that, I didn't do it, but an unsuspecting person would say, yeah, it's more convenient. I'll just call him. He'll come pick me up. But by not having livery insurance, and that's what Evan, the caller, was speaking about,
yep.
They have livery insurance. There's a 24-hour coverage. With Uber and Lyft, it's only coverage while they're accepting a ride and giving a ride. So there's some gray areas that it's just basically handled by having livery coverage. Now, in New York, despite the scary drivers that you mentioned, New York City, Uber's in New York City, and all Uber drivers carry livery insurance. All Uber drivers are subject to fingerprinting and background check. Yep. So they're doing everything in New York City that we are asking them to do upstate. Why should the downstate guys get – what downstate passengers get better protection than the upstate passengers?
Well, and
they're already doing it.
Yeah. Here's David on Twitter saying what we need is just one set of rules. Maybe the less regulated, less union-based, and maybe less safe model of Uber, but one set of rules, our choice, one set of rules. That's from David. Let me get more of your phone calls, and let's get our only break of the hour. And we're going to come back and continue our discussion on the future of so-called ride-sharing, or as Dave Andreotta from the Democrat and Chronicle just tweeted, can we just call it all taxis? That's really what this is.
We'll get there.
I think Franny seems to agree with that. But we're talking about Uber, Lyft, and Governor Cuomo saying if you want it New York State, upstate, outside of New York City, you've got to call your lawmakers. And he has called on the citizens to do that, but we're talking about what that means going forward. So let's get back to your phone calls after the only break of the hour. Second hour, the Ugandan Water Project is in its 8th year. What is it? Well, we'll talk about how local groups are trying to raise money for this project that will bring clean water to the people of Uganda. We'll talk about the pretty remarkable rainwater collection tanks that they're building, how they build the tanks, how much money it takes, and what's going on locally. That's all coming up next hour. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Magnus on Twitter says the irony is that in the 90s, they warned us about meeting strangers and getting into cars, and now I literally go online and get picked up by strangers. Dave, though, says, sorry, I've not gotten a good sense of professional driver skills from many taxi drivers, so again, I prefer Uber. So, you know, kind of a split in the audience so far. Let me get back to your phone calls. Danielle in Rochester is next. Go ahead, Danielle.
Thanks. So I think that your panelists are making a lot of decent points in terms of workers' rights and public safety, and they are things that definitely need to be considered. But I guess my fundamental question is, how does suppression of these services in upstate allow for any of that to progress or develop? You've kind of been hitting on this throughout the conversation, but I just don't see how keeping it out of this area will achieve any of the fixes that they're suggesting need to be made. So that's kind of a question I have. And also, in terms of the part-time income, it can be very beneficial for a lot of people who are looking for a little extra money to help with whatever they need. And having that kind of flexibility, which there's not a lot of other avenues where you can basically take an unskilled person and have an opportunity to make money under your own control, ride-sharing allows for that. And I was just down in D.C. recently, and there were plenty of cabs and plenty of Uber drivers, so I do think letting them into the area will not lead to the elimination of cabs. I think there's enough room in the market for everybody.
Okay.
So, thank you.
I'll start with Franny Sobchak. Go ahead. What do you think?
Yeah, well, D.C.'s a different market than we are. We're a smaller market upstate, and we're I'm not going to say we're seasonal, but we do have ups and downs. We have a lot of schools in the city, so when the kids aren't here, you know, it goes down a little bit. But to get to the part-time income, that's fine. But we have to figure out a way that when Uber comes, how are we going to regulate these part-timers when you have full-time workers, professional drivers, who are paying all the fees, who are paying all the different regulations and, you know, and paying for everything. And part-timers not paying anything, just coming in and taking basically the cream off the top and weekends and coming in when there's festivals and taking all the good work away from the drivers that live here, that raise families here, that are part of the community. How do we do that? How do we differentiate those workers, and how do we make sure that the citizens that live here and work here continue to have a living, so that make a living, so that they don't have to go back to the city or to the county and get benefits.
Okay, Matt Haig.
I agree with the caller that there are people who are looking for part-time work, and that this can provide that. I will continue to say that you think of markets all across the country that have a variety of, as Dave said, taxi services, including Uber, including standard yellow taxi. But, you know, in Rochester, what I hear a lot from constituents who really talk to me all the time about advocating on behalf of rideshare coming into our market is that this market, perhaps more than others, is designed for this type of technology, in that we are a significant portion of our year is extreme cold, snow, adverse conditions, that it is ideal for these rideshare apps, that we don't have taxis, patrolling our streets at all times of the day, like larger cities, that you just step outside of your house or your office building and you can grab a cab in under 30 seconds. If I went out, and I live right on Park Avenue itself, I could step out the front door of my house and I could wait for 7 hours before a cab would ever come by. So you really have to schedule this type of thing. And I've shared this with Franny and some of the cab drivers themselves. I've called for cabs. They've never come. I've called for cabs that after they've come, I've gotten to the location and I want to get home. and I can't get home because I can't get a cab to show up. I could stand outside. There's not a cab there. I can call the cab companies. They don't answer the calls. And even if they do, they don't send a cab. And so this is what I hear consistently from constituents. And I think that's part of the frustration that we hear that makes people say, well, I don't care about the fingerprinting, the background check. I just want to get home from my house in a February night and not have to walk a mile and a half in snow to get home.
And Mike emails the program. John Tomasi, on that subject, what Councilman Haig is talking about, here's an email from a listener named Mike who says, I do support ride sharing. I've used it in various cities across the country, and my comment is in regards to the quality of our cab service. I was a bartender on Monroe Avenue, and for 13 years, I knew most taxi service numbers by heart. The problem was that service was quite subpar. Many times, patrons who had been drinking would leave because taxis just would not show up. Also, the rates were considerably higher than those in major cities. Ride sharing offers another option for these situations. That's from Mike. And John, I also heard from a listener who said, think about it this way. If people don't feel like they're going to be able to get a taxi reliably, what's going to happen? You could have a group of people go out, and instead of Ubering or instead of getting a taxi reliably, you may have the least drunk person in the group driving home. It happens. I'm not trying to be flippant about this. And if you don't have reliable taxi service, and if you block Uber and Lyft, or if the status quo continues just the way we're sort of hearing, I don't mean to be dumping on taxi drivers. I don't mean that. I mean, I feel, Franny, I know there's some great people in the industry. I really mean that.
Yep.
But
no, Evan,
are these legitimate concerns?
We're not opposed to the Uber coming in at all, and it will fill some needs. It really will. And sometimes there's demand at certain hours where the taxi cab drivers just can't complete it. So I think there will fill some gaps in there, and I think it will raise the level of competition of everybody's vote. Everybody will have to be better to compete. So not opposed to it at all. It's just the safety issues, and two is the unfair competitiveness. Now, keep in mind, this isn't just approving Uber and Lyft and a couple of the larger ones. And this is saying anyone, whatever gets passed, is anyone who forms a TNC network. Now, there's software out there now. You could have a RIT student, get the software, hire his friends, and his friends could carry around, could take people to the bars on the weekends or, on RIT. And that would be acceptable under any legislation that would pass because there's no regulation of what a TNC is or what. So Uber, obviously, is a much more responsible citizen. They're doing some things right, some things they could do a lot better. But it could be anybody. It could be me setting up an app and saying, I'm a TNC, and I'm just going to hire whoever I want. And so it's everybody refers to Uber and Lyft, but this is actually very broad in terms of what a TNC is, a transportation network company. So that's our concern because it's not just them. It's anybody who wants to open up one.
All right, before I jump back to the phones, Franny, why do you think we're hearing all these stories? Councilman Haig shared one where he can recall times where he just couldn't get the cab that he needed. If that's the case, and I try not to rely too much on anecdotal evidence, but I'm hearing a lot of it. If that's the case, then why are we fighting hard to protect an industry that isn't serving the public well enough? Or do you think that that we're overstating the case here with the lack of reliability?
I think that those that are responsible in the city and in Monroe County, that's all I can speak about, I think they realize, the professional drivers, they do realize that, hey, we better get this straightened out. And it shouldn't take time. I mean, you should just boom, automatically straighten everything out and get moving, but that's where it is. Is there a need for probably, yes, there probably is a need. But we're not against Uber coming in. I mean,
if the rules are the same.
If the rules are the same, and they pay relatively the same insurances, the coverage, and everything.
All right, we got a taxi driver on the line, Ben in Rochester. Go ahead, Ben.
Ben.
Hi. I've been driving for almost about 10 years, a cab driver in the city of Rochester. At least I'm a professional driver here, on and off. But I've still had 2 hours I've been waiting here in the bus line. It's not even just 2 hours. And a professional driver. And when Uber comes, it's going to be eliminated. Everything's gone. I mean, I have family behind it. I've been here 32 years. This is my community, my home. At the same time, I'm paying $5,000 insurance for the cab. And with all our cab drivers here are, we don't have enough even cab here in Rochester area. Somebody else says, well, I don't have half an hour. I've been waiting half an hour to show up the cab. No. I don't know what company cab. Well, I'm Park Avenue. We've been in 6, 7, 8, 10 minutes. We'd be there. But the reason I'm saying is we can sell up the things they do in Uber. We can sell up. And then we don't have to pay $5,000 insurance. The same thing applies to Uber. We have to apply to us, too. Then what? No fingerprinting? Nothing to do because we have to buy $300 a year insurance. And then what? I can drive anything anywhere. Then it's apply. So Uber have to apply for the city of Rochester to those cab drivers. I'm saying fair is fair. If we are at city, the lobbyists want us to pay insurance $5,000. And then what? No job? Then Uber just selling the app. Same Park Avenue we do. Selling the app is making money. We pay to build insurance is $5,000. I'm sorry. Thank you for hearing me. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Thank you, Ben. I appreciate the phone call.
Thanks, Ben.
Councilman Haig, can you respond a little bit to what you heard? Because, again, I want to stress, Councilman Haig is here as someone who travels a lot and has used ride sharing and has used taxi cabs and is a friend of labor but still supports seeing this sort of this prohibition lifted, at least in some form. But is Ben wrong, or what do you make of what you're hearing there?
Well, I don't want to call his experience wrong.
Sure.
As Franny said, they have some really terrific drivers, and I've had some terrific drivers as cabs. But, I tend not to use cabs in Rochester because the consistency is so inconsistent. I've shared this story with Franny and the owner of Park Avenue Taxi. But I called one winter night to get a ride to a restaurant because I didn't want to drive. It took me a half an hour to actually get somebody to reply to me. They wouldn't use my they wouldn't answer my husband's phone number. I don't know if it's because it was out of state. They didn't. Once I called and used my phone, they finally answered. Cab showed up. After some considerable time, it did show up, got us to where we were going, very professionally done. But when I called to get home 2.5 hours later after that dinner, I couldn't get anyone to answer my husband's phone, my phone. And this was an hour of trying to call. And it simply went to, I don't know where. And they gave me 3 different numbers to call, and none of them answered. And I ended up having to get in the back of somebody's car and sit in their child seat to get home that night because 2 other people needed rides and they couldn't get a cab to come either. And this is in a restaurant that's pretty well populated in this community that you would think people would be paying attention to. And again, I appreciate, Evan, that you don't go and anecdote a lot, but
I think it's valuable. I think what I'm saying is we're hearing enough of these stories that it doesn't sound like an outlier.
That's where I agree on this, and in communities where I've traveled that have both rideshare and taxis, the thing that I have seen that's been most dramatic is that the quality of the taxis and the quality of the rideshare has both improved. The cleanliness of the cabs, the driver and professional courtesy of the cabs, the timeliness of them. I think, as Franny has acknowledged, that it has provided competition and that everybody has improved their game. And at the end of the day, as somebody who represents the people in the city of Rochester, I just want a service that serves their needs as my constituents.
From Park Avenue Taxi, let me grab a call from Melky, Park Avenue Taxi Service.
Melky.
Hi, Melky. Go ahead.
Hi, Melky.
Hi, Freddie. My name is Melky. I've been a taxi driver for the last 15 years, and actually we established one of the partnership or Park Avenue Taxi that we have around 45 drivers currently. And we operate like Uber with an app. We have our own app. If you go to Park Avenue Taxi, at the App Store, you'll be able to download and you'll be able to grab the closest driver on the map. Saying that, what I would like to say is any taxi company in Rochester, I believe, has no any objection for Uber coming. The only concern we have is in one city, there should not be two types of law or two types of regulation for the same transportation service. So what I'm trying to explain is that if Uber is coming, as you can see, the maximum of cabs in Rochester is about 500. And those 500 is not even an active. Even for 400 taxis in the city of Rochester, there isn't even enough marketing at all to share with Uber with anybody. If they come and if we have a plain level field that we can operate with the same kind of law, there is no reason that we couldn't buy a new car and we couldn't compete with Uber, since we already have an app to operate in the city of Rochester. It would not be a problem. But my point, what I want to say is, the gentleman who has spoken earlier, once in a while, there is no way to say that there wouldn't be any problem or there wouldn't be one or two or three customers might have been stuck in getting a cab. Even if Uber is here, as we have heard in Austin, Texas, in different cities, Uber has had a bunch of lawsuits already pending with a background checking problem, with the registered sex offender being a cab, the Uber driver. You know, we are the cleanest transport station service. If we get a plain level field, there is no reason that we couldn't operate like Uber in the city of Rochester rather than inviting another entity to come to the city of Rochester. The reason people are trying to push this agenda is because they have a share in the Uber stack.
Hmm. Well, Melky, I appreciate that. I mean, I could spend probably the next 90 minutes just reading emails and tweets from people who have been dissatisfied with taxi service. Again, I don't mean to make it personal, and I respect you and Franny and the people that she represents and works with, but there's clearly some level of dissatisfaction. So, Franny, 30 seconds, kind of keep it tight because we're running out of time. You want to respond to some of what Melky said there? Go ahead.
Yeah, definitely. And Melky put it out there. First of all, why should the guys that are here now, why should they carry the ball further down the line when new people coming in? And second of all, it's competition. Competition, it makes the whole industry up their game. And eventually what will happen is because these companies are upping their game, they're going to end up making more money. And it's going to be the competition of they'll be going to the cab companies that take care of them and that are clean and that are honest and competition.
John Tomasi, you've said you want an even playing field. We've been talking about forcing Uber and Lyft and these kind of companies to have to follow the same regulations as taxi companies. What about going the other way? What about saying, all right, we're going to let ride sharing come in, but we're going to ease back some of the rules and regulations and level the playing field that way?
Well, I won't say I'm category opposed to it. The issue is what type of regulation. If it's public safety issues, I'm not sure you want to go down that thing. All right, no more fingerprinting, no background checks or anything. I mean, every other type of public transportation in the state, whether it's school buses, charter buses, ambulances, paratransit vehicles, limousine, they all have a similar regulation, and they're all put in there for a reason. So the public feels like there's some type of trust factor that someone has vetted this person before I get in a car with a stranger and drive off. So to eliminate some of the public safety issues could be a real concern. I think you mentioned, Matt, just some, things about late taxis not picking up. And it does exist. I don't think the taxi industry is even going to try to defend that doesn't exist at this point. And I think in a couple of years, with the advent of ride-sharing apps like Park has and stuff, you'll see those type of things disappear. But what our concern is, as Uber's rolled into different states, you've now seen states subsequent to this react and say, whoa, we need to put some type of controls in place. New Jersey, Texas, even Texas, which is the land of the, operate free, the Texas, Massachusetts, New Jersey, come back and say, yeah, well, we got to start regulating this. And of course, Uber's already in there, so there becomes the battle. And we're trying to just, let's avoid this up front and just get the regulation, lay it out, Uber's doing this already in New York City, so it's doable.
All right,
it's doable, and you know,
well, John,
rather
I just,
than spend $1 million lobbying, let's get it done. Yeah,
and we could have done this all day. Chris says Chris says the Park Avenue taxi app is efficient and reliable, but then I'm hearing from Sean who says, keep young professionals in Rochester. We need Uber to keep young people here. So there's a wide range of opinions on this, and the conversation continues on social media. Some have asked, is there an online place where we can contact lawmakers, whether we are for or against legislation that would open up ride sharing? I don't think there's any online site for that. I think what the governor said 2 weeks ago in Rochester was call your lawmakers. We shall see. Certainly, it's a subject that is gaining some heat. John Tomasi, president of the Upstate Transportation Association. Thank you, John. Nice talking to you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Franny Sobchak from Workers United and Rochester Taxi Drivers. Always nice to see you, Franny. Thank you so
good
much.
Good seeing you, Evan. Thank you.
And Matt Haig, City Councilman. Thank you, Matt. Nice to see you.
Thanks, Evan. Good to see you again.
All right. Short break. More connections next.